Today's scripture reading is from Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we could have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I've been a member of this church for 62 years.
We estimate 65 years.
That's 65 years for sure.
Yeah.
Probably 47 years.
49, going on 49 years.
49 years.
Let's see, I've been a member since I was 2 years, actually, we moved here when I was two, and that was 73 years ago.
Friends that we met when we came to Blue Springs.
But my late husband, Jack, was already a member here because he moved here when he was in high school. So it was a no-brainer that I would become a Methodist.
What made you stay at this church?
Well, it was our family's church. I grew up in it. There was never any desire by my folks or us to go anywhere else, and we just stayed with the church. It was a wonderful church, it was home church, and we stayed. And when our grandkids were baptized, it was kind of cool that's the fourth generation of the Markers that have been, come into the church.
You get involved, and our kids were involved. Scott was involved in the Scouts here, and then Vacation Church School, and I was teaching Vacation Church School. And, one thing just leads to another, and it felt like home, and we never had any reason to move.
I felt immediately at home, and I wouldn't have thought of going elsewhere.
Well, listen, I'm just as comfortable there and always have been as I am right here in our home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were made to feel absolutely welcome the first time that we arrived there 65 years ago, and that has never changed.
It's more like, seems like it's a place for me to come to get rejuvenated on a Sunday for the week ahead. It's kind of like maintenance you have to do on equipment and so forth. This kind of does maintenance for me here at this church on Sunday morning.
Well, one of the things was those mission trips. I saw a lot of kids. Their eyes were open. Their hearts were open.
I've seen people who were really ill that responded to all the prayers that came from the membership of that church.
And it seems like we really care for one another too. And it's just a close-knit family.
I've seen persons' lives changed. And we know that is the work of God.
Diversity has to be youth and diversity, or it won't make any difference if we build a new church not too long ago or not.
I'd like to see it grow and be the place where everybody wants to come.
I hope our membership grows and people say we are the friendliest church in Blue Springs.
I'm really glad that we have the columbarium in our church.
Yeah.
I think
that
was a great idea that, in the very end, we're going to we'll still be home.
Oh, I see this church as a wonderful social experience for everybody in the congregation. I know everybody's got their own thoughts and opinions, but it's a wonderful social experience. And I think that's really cool. I think that's really neat.
I always like to thank them for all the prayers that they've given us in our down times. And we enjoy just their friendship.
That's right.
Come and invite your friends.
The director says that I must say, God bless us.
And as Tiny Tim always said, God bless us everyone.
You can tell the Landises have a little bit of theater in their background, the director says. That was really fun to record. This weekend, we're still in our Reclaimed series, and we're looking at First UMC Reclaimed. What is our purpose, and how can we reclaim it? And so that involves looking at our past, but then moving towards looking at the future. But before I really get into it, I have to share with you all that I have had an incredibly tough time writing this sermon this week because I came into the office on Monday morning and saw that Maxine Hall had passed away very early that morning. Some of you don't know her. You don't know the name. But I know that some of you do know her, and you remember coming to church with her. She knew the names of every person that was in that video. And she had some stories to tell about Jack Marker. She was our longest living member. At 94 years old, she became a member of this church on November 20th, 1938. That means she had been coming to this church for more than 81 years. Of course, the last time she was physically able to be in worship with us was in 2013. But people of the church were still going to see her, like Brenda Yanni, who is taking her communion, and Carol Jo, who is keeping tabs on her and would visit if she had to go to the hospital. About 2 or 3 months ago, Brenda reached out to Carol Jo, though, and said, "Hey, Maxine is slowing down a little bit. I think we're getting close to the end." And because of that warning, I was able to make my first contact with her. And since that first visit, I have to just say to you that I felt really uncomfortable knowing that we have this woman, this member, who is so full of stories, but yet we have such a small connection with her. A very meaningful connection, but it still seems so small. So when Pastor Chris told me that I got this weekend, the weekend with all the homework of looking at the history, I immediately thought of her. And I was so struck by the idea of, I don't want to get up here and tell you our history, but I want you to tell each other our history. And so that's why Eli and I got set to recording some of our longest members. We went to her, but we almost didn't, because it was a long day of recording. And I told Eli, you know, we still have youth tonight. Let's not go today. It'll be okay. And his patience was better than mine. And he said, no, let's go ahead and go. We've got time. And so last Wednesday, just a few days before she passed away, we were able to sit and talk to her about her favorite church memories. We weren't able to record her and add her to our video because of where she lives. There were rules, and so we couldn't do that. But we just sat and we talked. And at her age, you know, she had to be reminded a couple of times who I was, where I was from. But as soon as you got her started talking about her memories here, then she just lit up. So I want to share with you her favorite church memory, which was shared at her celebration of life. She used to play the organ and the piano, and so I think this was at the second location, but I'm not sure. She said she loved it when she was playing the organ, and it was the early service, and the sun was coming in through the windows, and she could look out into the congregation and just see everyone singing. And she just lit up when she told us this. This was her favorite memory. It was just everyone praising God together. And then she went into telling Eli and I a story about a dog getting into the church service. We couldn't tell what she was saying because she was so into storytelling that she was whispering at some parts. But then she would laugh, and it didn't matter what she was saying because we just could see that she had joy in whatever memory it was she was recalling. I asked her if she still felt connected to the church, and I probably asked this out of my own guilt, but she said she loved getting the newsletter, and that those that were visiting her would tell her the church was doing good, and she loved getting communion from Brenda. And so she has basically wrecked my sermon this week, because I'm supposed to be talking about our history, but a huge piece of our history was just lost this week. Not lost, she is home, she is with her husband, and we will see her again, but she's wrecked whatever it was I had intended on saying. So this has inspired me, it's inspired Pastor Chris and Carol Joe, and if you read in the newsletter this week, Carol Joe has announced she's going to retire from being our caring minister's person. And so for so long, she's been doing this with herself and a really small team. That small team is amazing and dedicated and loving, and they are doing an amazing job. But because we have that small team, some of our members are not getting the care that they deserve. So this is what has inspired me. I am so grateful that the Spirit nudged us to go see Maxine last week before she passed. And she still felt connected, but I wish we would have been doing more for her. And now I have a list of names on my desk of the other people that are living in a home or are homebound and don't have a connection. And so they are on my heart this week. They may not physically be able to make it in because many of our members are over the age of 70. They are homebound, they live in a home, or they are at home taking care of a loved one who can't physically come in anymore. These people are still a part of our family. They're not just gone because they're no longer in this building with us. So this is a really weird intro to the sermon, but this matters to me this morning. And so I hope you have seen in your bulletin there's this insert that's pretty thick, so maybe it stood out to you. I can care. This insert is just me asking, would you consider being a part of our Caring Ministries team? Because so many of you in this room have these gifts and these abilities. And if we can build our team of volunteers who are willing to just sit and have conversations with people, then we won't have anyone slipping through the cracks anymore. We won't have anyone sitting at home feeling disconnected from their church, because their church will be coming to them to check on them, make sure they're doing good, and telling them how the church is. Pastor Chris and I are just two people. And so when Carol Joe retires and it's just us two, there are 400 of you coming each weekend. That's a lot for two people to help make sure that you're cared for in the way you deserve. But if we are to grow and there's even more of you, then we surely can't do it alone. But if you guys are willing to come together and take care of our family with us, then I think we can make sure that everyone deserves the care they deserve. Because whether we like it or not, at some point in the future, we will be that person who can't come to church anymore. And if it was me, I would want to know that there's a team of people that are still going to reach out to me, and they're still going to come see me. So put your name on this and fill it out if there's any of these areas that you feel the Spirit nudging you of, you know, I can do that. I can sit and have a 10-minute conversation with someone. Whenever you come forward for communion, I just invite you to put it in the basket that's in the center there. If we do this together, we can cherish our members in the same way that we cherish our history and our memories. So as we move towards now looking at our actual history, know that this is my version of a Dr. Seuss book that's not done very well. But I just wanted to share my history with you, our history with you, in a fun-ish way. So once upon a time, for Blue Springs First United Methodist Church. Once upon a time, in a land we are now all familiar with, there lived six people who looked around and said, "We need a church to call home." These six people were about to become seven, for a new baby was on the way. Before the stork could drop him off, they wanted a place where they could gather and praise God's name. This dream was realized in 1872, a mere 8 years before Blue Springs was even blue. The stream was big, but the building was small. For 12 years, they rooted and grew, only to be outrun by the railroad crew. So on a trailer, they hitched that small building, and poor mules had to move it across the city. By 1884, they had a new home at the intersection of 16th and Smith, was where they would call home. However, their growth was great. So soon they had to talk about adding new rooms to keep up with all the little feet. More classrooms were added in 1917, and a kitchen was granted in 1943. Oh, but it continued to grow as an annex was added, making room for 150 more people. 88 years, this location served them well, but with a membership of 350 families, they had to vote to go. A third location was found again, and on April 20th, 1969, they held their first worship service inside their West Walnut Street location. But even this new building could not contain the people coming. Soon they were bursting at the seams again. By 1982, they were experiencing Sunday school overcrowding. And so a year later, they built a new wing for the adults and children to both keep on soaring. With four worship services and over 600 coming, soon even this new location could not contain their Easter people. With a sanctuary that only held 200, they voted to purchase a beautiful new location at 301 Southwest Woods Chapel Road, where we all now call home. The purpose of this final landing was in order to keep up with the children who just kept coming. Their first official service was sometime in the early 2000s as the greens were hung to prepare for Advent. This new location served just fine as the dreams for growth were still alive. By 1977, the church was celebrating 125 years of being a place called home, not just for those original six, but for the hundreds of families that had grown with their many buildings. The pastor spoke out on this great birthday of the growth from the past and the excitement for the future. As the church looked back and forward, they celebrated that the Creator went before them with Christ right beside them and the Spirit backing them. Soon, my dear friends, in 2022, we will get to celebrate 150 years as a church family. And what will we say we do? The end. Oh, yeah. You can tell I used to work at a library. So that's our history done in a simple, slightly fun way. And so today we look at how do we reclaim our purpose, knowing that we have this great history. We were a church started for a baby, and a church that kept growing and changing for the children coming. So who are we today? What might God lead us to do if we can reclaim our possibility and our purpose? So as we are cherishing our history but looking forward, I want to read the scripture again to you. This time from the New English Translation, and I'm going to read 4-6. For everything that was written in former times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. Now may the God of endurance and comfort give you unity with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything written before is written for instruction and hope. Our history is littered with moments of adaption and change. The church was constantly changing to meet the needs of its people and the needs of the children. And so many times we heard in that story about a new addition being built, a new kitchen being added, or just a whole new building being needed. So the instruction and the hope here. If we look at our history, then I see that the instruction is we must be ever changing if we are to be growing. And I see that we must look at the needs of the children, like those second graders who just got their first awesome Bible. We need to look at their needs to know where is it we should be headed. I was reminded in some of the interviews, though, that change often comes from conflict. As a denomination that is in conflict with itself, I think we can agree with that. Sometimes change does come from conflict. However, if we here at First UMC are knitted together as a family who cares for one another, but sometimes we don't agree, then that change cannot harm us. It can only generate us forward. Verses 5 and 6 of this say, may the God of endurance and comfort give you unity with one another, so that together you may glorify God with one voice. That is the future that we're going to have to move towards together. But today, as you go home and we prepare for next week where we look at the future, what is it we can be doing? And this is what I came to, is how can I reclaim my faith today? And so when you leave this space, I hope you'll take that prayer with you. God, how can I reclaim my faith to you? And furthermore, how can I reclaim my role in this church family? Today, we've appreciated and cherished our past, those that have gone before us, and those that have shown us the way. And next week, we're going to look towards the future, those who are here and those who are yet to come. What is it that we can prepare for them? If our purpose has always been around providing a place for the children, how can we reclaim our purpose today for the children? And so I went straight to the source. Joanne helped me record these videos. The children talk really softly because they're cute. That's just how they talk. She repeats their answers a lot, though, so listen closely and listen to what she repeats. But this was just us going to the children and saying, what is it you like about your church?
What's your favorite thing about church, or your favorite memory?
Donut.
Donuts. I love it. I like donuts, too.
Sunday school.
Sunday school? Awesome. Ooh, Power Praise and Chimes. Those are some good ones, aren't they? What's your favorite thing that you do here at church? Or if it's
play games in the gym.
Ooh, like the gym time?
Everything.
Everything. Awesome.
I like how, like, some, like, whenever you're older, you can, like, go to, like, different, like, places.
Nice. I love that.
That,
Nice. I love that. What's your favorite thing that you do at church? Is there a program you like or an event that you like?
I like the summer camp here.
Ooh, the summer camp. That is fun.
Well, the camp.
Oh, you like the camp? Oh, that's awesome. And what's your favorite part about Sunday school?
Story time. That we learn how to trust in God.
Oh, I love that one. Well, is there a special event that you've come to that you've really had a fun time at? Which one?
Playground.
The playground?
To build it.
You did help build it, didn't you? That was pretty cool. What's your favorite thing to do at church?
My church?
Yeah, what do you like to do here?
Play.
You like to play?
Catching.
Ooh, catching. So you like the gym time?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I hope that this church is still growing and thriving and that Erica's still here, even though she's going to be really old.
I hope this church stays really nice and really funny.
I hope there's still donuts. And also, I hope that it's as welcoming and as accepting and as diverse as it is now, and that there's still a lot of opportunities for a lot of different age groups, and that people are still going on mission trips.
That everyone still is welcoming and caring about everyone, and that the youth is still, like, involved with the church and doing things.